Welcome back to Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag today on the road in Houston, Texas for Commodity Classic. And I'm with a fellow Hoosier who just won a big award, the Friend of Farmer Award from the Indiana Corn Growers Association and the Indiana Soybean Alliance Membership and Policy Division. I'm with the one and only Ted McKinney, the CEO of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, or NASDA for short. And first of all, Ted, how's it feel to win this big award from the Indiana Corn Growers Association and Indiana Soybean Alliance?
Yeah, well, two words, special, maybe even very special and humbling. Did not see this coming back when they called me, and it's just really special. First, just the fact that only six have been presented, and then seeing the list of those who've received it are people I held up, as icons in Indiana agriculture. So to be among them is just pretty special, and I'm honored.
Ted, you've been putting quite a bit of mileage on planes across not just the U.S., traveling here from D.C. to Houston, but also a recent trip to Havana, Cuba. What can you tell me about that trip and that NASDA delegation that you just took to Havana, Cuba?
Well, the first thing I'd say, whether it's Cuba or the other countries to which we've traveled, it's all about relationships. If you're not keeping up the cadence of your relationships, just like if you're not keeping in touch with your next door neighbor on the farm, then you lose something. And so part of this is to not ever, ever, ever to replace USDA or U.S. Trade Rep's office, but to supplement, to leverage, to be a megaphone for what they are doing. Our members are the closest thing to the farmer, the rancher, the processor, and so they have a voice, and they're very good about sharing that. About Cuba, well, on the downside, things are not good in their food and ag area. They're down 90, that's 90% in pork. They're down at least 40 or 50% in poultry, and it's because they don't have the hard currency to buy feed grains. But the upside that most people are not aware is that under then-President Raul Castro, they changed the Constitution. This is 4 or 5 years ago, where they now allow private companies and private cooperatives. And the question to me is this bridge. Can the rise in those private companies and cooperatives come in time to remedy this tailspin on food and nutrition that they're experiencing? As a humanitarian, as an Aggie, I hope so. But the story is yet to be written on that.
Well, you mentioned Raul Castro. You also mentioned the embargo, because during President Obama's administration, he had lowered those barriers.
Yeah.
That's allowed a little better trade to take place. A lot of those barriers before are still in place. What needs to happen to lower those barriers now to allow that ag trade to take place between the U.S. and Cuba?
The first thing I've got to say is there are things that our government officials know and a president knows that we do not know. So there may be reasons, very logical reasons, behind some of the decisions that Mr. Trump made and that Mr. Biden is sustaining. That said, let's get back to just the humanitarian aspect. I think that trips like we made and trips like I think the USDA APHIS is either there this week or next week to address African swine fever prevention and things. The more of that kind of exchange that takes place, the more you build trust and understanding. You find ways to work together. Now, I'll just say, most people don't know, but Cuba is our number three market for poultry. It's chicken quarters, it's the legs, but it's doing a lot of the heavy lifts in providing protein for them. So we have an anchor there. We already have a presence there. And if we can build on that, again, just speaking from that humanitarian farmer to farmer, ag to ag, food to food, then maybe there's an opportunity, and I think that it can get there. Now, all this depends on Cuba not straying, not doing nefarious things. You know, there's a tendency for sometimes that to happen on countries' parts. But I see a more positive future than a negative future, to be very honest.
Chatting with NASDA CEO Ted McKinney here at Commodity Classic in Houston, here on Hoosier Ag Today. A lot of policy is being discussed here among corn producers, soybean producers, all the different commodity groups. And the top priority is the Farm Bill. You've been pushing for one to get done here and be introduced in March. Do you think that it's still feasible that we get a Farm Bill introduced this spring?
Oh, CJ, That's a big question. Well, I can't change my stripes and be a pessimist, so I better stay in the optimistic category. Yes, there is still a chance it can happen, but every day that goes by, particularly lost floor time days in the halls of Congress, it starts to wane and look more like an end of the year or, depending on the election, a issue that rolls into 2025. I'm going to stay hopeful that March, April, maybe some in May, but you know the silly season really takes hold and everything is seen through a political lens as if it isn't already. So I'm very hopeful. For many people, they feel like it's not that big a deal, but it is. Farmers need certainty, and absent these programs, you don't have certainty. I'll go to our urban needs. SNAP program needs certainty, and you can't plan. And many people do not realize, but if you're an employee of the federal government, you can only plan up to where you have funding. So no planning is occurring beyond where they have tentatively said the funding will end. Can't touch it. Can't even think about it. So what kind of a government or a USDA are we if you cannot plan? So for sure, having a farm bill and the certainty is good. We always have the debates on the farm type programs versus the nutrition programs. Welcome to the 1970s. It's a little more accentuated now post-COVID because there's a desire to hang on to the massive funding that was laid out. I would think maybe we can retrench a little bit, but I'm not close to that, so I'll let the experts sort that out.
Chatting with Ted McKinney, the CEO of NASDA here on Hoosier Ag Today. And finally, Ted, your brother is back on the farm in Tipton County, Indiana. Your family back in Tipton County, just north of Indianapolis. As corn producers and soybean producers get set for another planting season, what message do you have from Washington, D.C. to the folks all across Indiana on behalf of NASDA?
Well, the first thing I'd remind them is that the people that the consuming public holds in the highest regard are farmers and veterinarians. So you're in a good spot, first of all. Secondly, the good news in D.C. is that agriculture is generally one of the more happy, if I can say that. All the disturbances really are not so much an ag. Yeah, it's the nutrition versus farm programs, but even then, they settle pretty nicely in the end. And so I want to leave people on an optimistic note because the opposite is just not fun.
Once again, fellow Hoosier and CEO of the National Association of State Departments of Agriculture, Mr. Ted McKinney. Congratulations once again on receiving the Friend of Farmer Award. And thank you so much for joining us here on Hoosier Ag Today. I certainly appreciate it, sir.
Thanks as always, CJ.
Eric Pfeiffer has more from here in Houston at Commodity Classic. So don't you dare go anywhere. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and this is Hoosier Ag This Week.